Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, for this blessed day, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the day that we begin our week with our service and our worship and adoration to Thee, we thank Thee for it. We thank Thee for the opportunity we have to come to this Thy house and worship Thee. And we pray that Thy Spirit might be with us now as we have been blessed and worshiped thus far, that He may continue to be with us and to guide us, that we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth, that He might indwell with us, that we might be filled with Him and empty of fleshly desires. Now, O Lord, I thank Thee for the church here, each member, each friend, and pray that Thy richest blessings will be with her in every needed way. And when it pleases Thee, add to her numbers those that should be added as Thou seest fit. Be with us, we pray, and bless us in the preaching and hearing of Thy word. Bless Thy servant to preach Thy word, and Thy people to hear and understand. And above all, bless it to Thy praise and glory, and then to the good of Thy people. Bless, we pray, our absent loved ones and those who need Thy help in whatever way it may be. Forgive us of our sins, we humbly ask, in the name of Jesus. And this we ask in His name, and amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 22 and verse 14. Again, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. And this verse of Scripture reads, "And Abraham called the place, beg pardon, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Now, I want to give you some of the background of this text, first of all. You may be familiar with it, but God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac, his son, for a burnt offering. And that's Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. And it reads, "And he said," God said to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And so Abraham, and being commanded to take his son, he was commanded to take Isaac's life and to burn him as a burnt offering to the Lord. Now, one thing we need to remember, and I think this would come up many times in this, it's good to remember what a burnt offering was. I don't remember just exactly what it was, that is, the things that were, what was offered and how it was offered and all that. But the one thing I do remember, and this is very important, then when an Israelite, and that would include Abraham, one of the patriarchs, when an Israelite offered a burnt offering, it was a symbol of submission to God, total submission to God, body, soul, and spirit. And so Abraham was commanded to offer Isaac, his son, his only son, his only promised son that he loved greatly, to the Lord, and do that, submitting himself to the Lord, body, soul, and spirit. All right? Abraham journeyed to the place God showed him, and that's in verse 3. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." Abraham went with other men and he told the men that were with him to wait, because he and the lad would go up and worship and come again. And that's in verse 3. Verse 5. And it reads, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." Now, we got to remember this, that Abraham knew what God told him to do. And he knew that he intended to do just exactly as God told him to do. He was going to take Isaac's life, and he was going to burn him on an altar. And yet, by faith, he said, "I and the lad will go yonder to that place and worship and come again unto you. That is, that Isaac and I will come back again unto you. All right, now, Abraham drew back the knife to slay Isaac. And this, by the way, is in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. Hold on to Genesis, now that you maybe have already moved away from there, but because we're going to go back to that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. I may have said 19, but we'll get to that one, but I meant verse 17. And this verse of scripture reads, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." All right? Now, we know, if we know the lesson, that Abraham did not take the life of Isaac and did not offer him for a burnt offering. And yet, this verse of scripture says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered," that word tried, by the way, means tested, "offered up Isaac." Now, and the meaning there is, that is, Abraham drew the knife back to take the life of his son, and the Lord told him, "Don't do that." We're going to see that in just a moment, the Lord with it. The Lord told him, "Don't do that." Abraham was tested, and it was Abraham's intent to do just exactly what God commanded him to do. And that's why we have here, "By faith, Abraham offered Isaac." All right? Now look at verse 19. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. "Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." That is, he was willing, he knew the promises that Isaac would receive be called, and then his descendants of faith would follow from Isaac and Jacob and his 12 sons and so forth. And Abraham knew all that. And yet he didn't argue with God and say, "Listen, Lord, you said bless himself." He just simply did what God told him to do, and then God told him to stay his hand. Now he did that because he said, "All right, well, God said that. God can keep his promise, even if I take Isaac's life, and he can raise him even from the dead, even if I take his life, even if I offer him for a burnt offering." Now, and so we go back to Genesis. The Lord commanded Abraham not to slay Isaac. Now, that's an angel, by the way, and I'll say something about that in just a moment. But look in verse 12, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 12, 22, verse 12. "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." All right, now, listen here just for a moment. It says in the previous verse that it was an angel. And I told you it was the Lord. Now, we need to remember, what is an angel? What was an angel, at least in that day? What was an angel? An angel was a messenger from God. All right. Now, it's no damage to call Jesus an angel. Because if anybody can give a message from God, God the Father, it is one who is equal to him. And so Jesus is that messenger. All right? And so I for that reason, I said it's the Lord. And not only that, but look, if you will, at the end of verse 12. It says, "And hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham was not offering his son to an angel. Abraham was offering his son, or would offer his son, unto the Lord. All right? After that happened, then Abraham saw a ram caught in a thicket and offered him instead of Isaac. And that's in verse 13. "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son," or instead of his son. I remember one of my seasoned brethren in the ministry, who's now with the Lord, saying this: "There is no way that that ram, under natural circumstances, would have his horns caught in a thicket. That's just contrary to their nature. And yet the Lord moved that ram to be there, and moved that ram to have his horns caught in a thicket, so Abraham could slay him or offer him as a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. And then Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, which again is in verse 14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, and it is said unto this day, or to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. I remember a number of years ago, when I was a young boy, Elder Woodrow Beasley was a young preacher, and he preached at Oakley Grove, and he used this word, Jehovah Jireh, and he said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Now, let me say one thing about that. I don't remember one other thing about that message, whether this was the text of it, or the context of it, or anything like that, or whether he used that as a companion text or something else. I don't know. I don't have a clue of what he said that morning or that evening, whenever it was, but I do remember he says, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now, let me say one thing about that. As you've read the verse, you see, that's not the definition in this verse. And yet, it is an accurate definition. Isaac saw the wood, and he had probably a torch for a fire, and all the other things for the burnt offering. But he said, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? He knew that was done. And look in verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That is, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now notice what Abraham did not say. He did not say God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. But rather, he said, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. That is, but God provided a ram to sacrifice instead of Isaac. And Abraham was not referring to the ram, because Abraham said a lamb. That is, God would provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And God provided the lamb in the person of Jesus Christ the Lord. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7 says, he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. And that's what we can see in Jesus Christ the Lord. And then in John chapter 1, verse 29, when Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized with him, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That is, Jesus was the Lamb of God. Now, notice, little words are important. Behold, the Lamb of God. They were even in that day, and throughout the history of the nation of Israel, there were no doubt many lambs that were offered. And yet not one of them ever took away any of the sins of any one person in the nation of Israel. And there were many offered. But now, Jesus is not a lamb, which there could be many others, but Jesus was the Lamb, which means he is the only one. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, I want to give you another definition that I found in trying to study this back in the month of December, probably late November and early December. Here's another definition of the word Jehovah Jireh, and that is, the Lord will see to it, or the Lord will make sure that it happens. Now, think about this. Jehovah. The word Jehovah is a name of God, and it means the self-existing God. When God called Moses out of the burning bush, one of the things Moses asked the Lord was, said, well, when I go back to the nation of Israel, well, let me back up and say this. The Lord told Moses that he was going back to Egypt And he was going to, with God's blessing, lead the Israelites out of bondage. All right? Then, and Moses asked the Lord, when I go back to the Israelites, and they ask me, what is your name? Then what will I tell them? That's to paraphrase that. And the Lord said, I am that I am. Tell them that I am has sent me. And the word I am is translated from the Hebrew word Yehovah, which we get the word, the English word Jehovah, which means again the self-existing God. All right? God, the Lord, will make sure it happens. And remember, Jehovah means self-existing God. Who else but the self-existing God could make sure that it would happen just exactly as he intended for it to do? It was so sure that Isaiah prophesied the future as the past. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That is, he spoke of what Jesus would do on the cross about 700 years in the future. And yet he spoke of it as if it were in the past. But God can speak of the future as the past. When he decrees something will be done, it's just as good as done. All right, and so Jesus offered a burnt offering. Remember, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus offered a burnt offering. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, it says of Jesus there, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, I don't know about any of you, but when I grew up in the 60s and 70s in my teen and early 20 years, and I had some good friends that we went to a variety of meetings together. And in those days, to say that Jesus offered himself, that was a dirty word. Now, and the idea was there that Jesus offered himself to humanity so that he might save them from their sins. Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, there was a pattern for Jesus to live and suffer and die and raise again. And that pattern is found in the Old Testament scriptures. And one way is like making a dress. Some of you, I know Catherine has, but I don't know about you other two sisters, whether you have or not. But if you made a dress, then you're smart enough to use a pattern. And I don't think it matters how long you may have done certain things, that you need to use that pattern and put it in a certain way. All right? And then when you put the pattern, the pieces of the pattern together, you come out with a dress. Now, or a shirt or pants or whatever you may sew. Well, Jesus had a pattern. And the pattern for Jesus was the pattern in the Old Testament scriptures. They looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And though they were in figures and types and shadows and all these things, and yet they pointed to the one that was coming. They pointed to the one that was going to fulfill all the law and the prophets, those things concerning him. And Jesus did just exactly that. Well, go back to the law. When Aaron, first high priest, when he made offerings, to whom do you think he made that offering? Well, I think you know. He made that offering to the Lord. And when Jesus offered himself as a burnt offering, he made that offering unto God the Father himself on our behalf and the rest of his people. Now, and so, brothers and sisters, and that's what Jesus did. He offered himself unto the Lord as a burnt offering on our behalf. All right? The definition in Genesis chapter 22 we have, it says, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. All right? What mount of the Lord? It was Mount Moriah, where, by the way, later on the temple was, I believe, was built. And so it was Mount Moriah. And the word Moriah is consistent with it, and it means seed of Jah. And Jah is a root word which refers to God. So it means seed of Jehovah, the self-existing God, or seed of God. Now, and the location of the temple, as I mentioned just a moment ago, in that same chain of mountains that bordered Jerusalem, I don't know if that same chain bordered all of Jerusalem, but there's another mountain in that chain, and it's called Mount Calvary. And that was where Jesus was crucified, and he was not as the lamb, but the lamb. And Jesus offered himself there for a burnt offering. Now, I'll remind you again, what does the burnt offering mean? It was a symbol of total submission to God, body, soul, and spirit. And it said of Jesus in Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God. Now, think about that. I don't know of anything that would describe the burnt offering of what Jesus did, submitting himself to the Father, body, soul, and spirit. In that expression when he says, I delight to do thy will, O God. By the way, that same is quoted in early parts of Hebrews chapter 10. God the Father saw it. And Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11, a portion of that verse says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Again, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. God the Father saw that. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it reads, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That is, God, all of that is God in the person of Jesus Christ. But God in the person of Jesus Christ, the latter part of that verse of Scripture was received up into glory. And while it doesn't say that, I don't know that any passage of Scripture concerning that, and yet what seems to imply there is that God the Father had seen what Jesus did. God the Father was pleased with all that Jesus did, and then he received him up into glory. And by the way, he's saying that he was totally satisfied with everything that Jesus did, or that Jesus totally fulfilled or satisfied the will of God the Father, and he did everything necessary for the redemption and salvation for his people, and will ultimately come again to glorify us as he himself is glorified. And so, my brothers and sisters, yes, God the Father saw it and proved everything that Jesus did. Now, let's think about another mountain. There is a mountain that represents the kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Let me turn over that to read that. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. And it reads, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Now, obviously, he's referring to Gentile times, or the New Testament times, because the Gentiles were not to be even proselyted by the Jews, so that they might worship God even under the law. But now that the gospel had been preached, it was preached first of all to the Jews, then later to the Gentiles, and so all nations, Jews and Gentiles, could flow into this mountain, which represents the kingdom of God here in this world. That is, it's something that's higher than everything around about us. Now, I want you to notice one thing at the very beginning of this verse, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Well, we hear a lot about the last days. So we're living in the last days, or the last days concerning the end of this world as we know it. Well, there's another last days. It's already passed. And you say, well, how could that be? Well, it's referring to the last days of the Jewish world. In the last days of the Jewish world, the gospel of Jesus Christ came. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was preached. Some Jews believed it, some did not, some despised it, and some Gentiles believed it, and some of them despise it also. But nevertheless, in the last days of the Jewish world, the gospel began to preach, and people responded, but people believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And they rejoiced in that. And that because they rejoiced in what Jesus had done for them, they did what they could in His service to praise, honor, and glorify Him. And listen, brothers and sisters, in the kingdom of God, we are blessed to see Jesus Christ the Lord. If we're blessed to see Jesus Christ the Lord, when we come here or somewhere else to the house of the Lord, then it's because God is with us. And because God has blessed us to experience His kingdom, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, brother and sister, we're blessed to rejoice in Jesus, and we're blessed to see Jesus as our substitute. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, refers something to the joy that we experience in Jesus Christ. It says something like this: whom, having seen, yet believe, and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And doesn't mean you can't say anything about that, but it's such a great joy that we can't fully describe. We can't fully understand. But we know that God has blessed us with that joy. And so when we're blessed to see Jesus as our substitute, that Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, then we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can see Jesus by faith. And by faith, we can see that Jesus died for us and that Jesus redeemed us from our sins. By faith, I can see Jesus on the cross. Obviously, I can't see Jesus on the cross with my literal eyes. Obviously, I was not there either. But nevertheless, with the eyes of faith, I can see Jesus there on the cross. And I can hear those seven sayings that Jesus spoke there on the cross. And I can see that Jesus shed His blood and redeemed me from my sins. I can see that again with the eye and the thoughts of faith. And so we can see Jesus by faith. Each one of us can say by faith, Jesus is my Savior. Thank the Lord for that. Each one of us can say and know by faith that Jesus is my Savior. All right? What's our response to what Jesus has done for us? For me, a verse of Scripture in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. We love Jesus. I believe every one of you here loves Jesus. All of us maybe should love Him more than we do. Sure, I love Him more than we do, but nevertheless, every one of us, all of us, have a special love for Jesus. Now, let me say one thing about the word love. It's translated from the Greek words, one of three, and I don't know which one it is, but love both times when it says we love Him because He first loved us, and love, and love are both translated from the same Greek word. That means that we're to love Jesus with a great love. So we need to ask ourselves, how do we love Jesus? And then the question, do we offer to Jesus the equivalent of a burnt offering? See, this burnt offering comes back again. Now, Abraham did it, Jesus did it, and now it's our responsibility to offer the equivalent of a burnt offering. Now, we don't go outside, make altars, and get an animal, and then offer that animal unto the Lord, because those things have been fulfilled. In fact, the law looked forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, to fulfill all of those things. And when the Jews continued to make those kinds of sacrifices and offerings that were taught under the law, that was a mockery of Jesus Christ by saying, He has not come. And so for that reason, we don't offer offerings and sacrifices as they did under the law. But again, do we offer the equivalent of a burnt offering? And here's the scripture that teaches that. Psalm 103 verse 1. Beautiful verse of scripture. Psalm 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Now the word bless. Bless the Lord. What can we give the Lord? Well, I'll tell you in one word, nothing. How can we bless the Lord? That is, as God blesses us. Remember, you may remember I read from Psalm 24 and verse 1 reads, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein." Well, since He owns everything, and what we have, we're just stewards of it, by the way. Since He owns everything, what can we give Him? Nothing. Well, the word bless is translated from a Hebrew word which means praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. That is substituting the word praise for bless, and that's what it means there. All right? Well, all that is within me. That's the equivalent of the burnt offering. Total submission to God, body, soul, and spirit. All that is within me. Listen, when we worship in spirit and truth, then think about when we stood up and sang that last hymn, the muscles and bones of our body then allow us to stand straight up. And I can think about the lungs, the diaphragm, the mind, the vocal cords, and all those things that have to come together. And then the glands, various hormones, and all those things there. Listen, when we praise God as we should, that every part of it, except our fleshly nature, gives honor and glory to God. It's no wonder, I believe it's Psalm 139. I could be mistaken about that, but he says this, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That is, God made our human bodies that every part of this body, even the most insignificant part of our human bodies, can be used in the praise, honor, and glory of the Lord. And so that's what we're to do. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Now, Jesus has given His all for us. And we are to give our all for His glory and praise. Many sacrifices were given to dedicate the tabernacle and then later the temple. And when they made those offerings to the Lord, and I just read recently, all the things, it was thousands of oxen that Solomon offered there unto the Lord. It's amazing how much was done there. But when they did that, the glory of the Lord filled the place. Now I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, God will bless us with His glory when we praise Him. And what I mean by that is, when we praise Him in our private devotion, or our public worship, or our prayers, or whatever it may be, then God will bless us with His felt presence when we praise Him as we should. God help us to praise the Lord is my prayer for Christ's sake. Remember what He's done for us, and the Lord helped, that He gave His all for us, and the Lord help us as best we can to give our all for Him in His service.